sing a song of praise. Come, let us worship the Lord. Trust in His might, walk in His light. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Great are His wonders and grand His ways. Come, let us worship the Lord. Jesus shall reign. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Let us worship the Lord, worship the Lord. Come, let us worship the Lord. Lift up your voice, sing and rejoice. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord.
Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. We thank God for bringing Pastor and Mrs. Otero back from their safely back from their recent trip. We are pleased to have with us today missionary Eusebio, also known as Sam, and Maritza Perez from Malaga, Spain. As a congregation, we have been privileged to be included with those who support the Perez family with our prayers and with our finances in their faithfulness in the proclamation of God's word to believers and to the lost. Missionary Perez will be bringing the message today. Also, there will Missionary Perez will be giving a missionary report this evening service at 5 p.m. Pastor Tomlinson will be leading the scripture, searching the scriptures class at 3:30 this afternoon to find an answer to the question, is hell really located in the center of the earth? Please refer to your bulletin for other activities scheduled for this afternoon and the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled for this coming week and Sunday. Also, would like to draw your attention to two inserts in the bulletin. One regards the women's fellowship meeting and states that all ladies interested in helping in some way in the 25th year celebration of Bethel Baptist, we would love to have you present at this fellowship meeting. I'm looking for committees for the following areas: decorations, invitations, welcome, programs, seating, others. And so please come and join with the ladies with your great ideas and a willing heart to serve. Now that's this coming Thursday at 7 p.m. Also, the insert in your bulletin concerning Friday's Bible study group is collecting for the Iraq and the Sudanese Christians blankets, soap, various clothing items, and so give clothing items to any member of the Youth Friday Bible Study. This is the Youth Bible Study group, and collections will be made through July 27th, and you may ask neighbors and friends. Also, there will be a men's Bible study Tuesday at the Kazanjian home, and that is Tuesday, June 19th. All men are invited. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 66, verse 8. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. So let us begin our worship with hymn number 42, All Hail the Power. Let us continue our worship with hymn number 417, In Christ There Is No East or West. Please stand now as we sing hymn number 424, Send the Light.
Please remain standing for prayer, and I want to first, before praying, wishes to all of you fathers a blessed, wonderful day, as God has placed you as a father, and you are being honored today. It's just a wonderful experience of life. And if you're a grandfather, double experience of life. Let's pray together. Our mighty God and Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of our High Priest, who sits at the right hand of God, the Lord Jesus. And we pray with deep conviction of our heart that you be honored today, and that the proclamation of your gospel in this church and all the churches around the world be clear, be faithful, and be truthful to your word, so that people can be saved. Thank you, Father, for allowing us again to open the doors of Bethel Baptist Church, not only here in the city of Morgan Hill, but through the world and the internet, and through the radio ministry that at this moment goes in the homes of many and in the cars of many people. And then later on through the tape and CD ministry, Father, thank you and thank you again for the blessedness of an open door that we can use to proclaim the mighty hope that in Christ there is salvation, there is unity and peace with God. As a church and a body of believers, we pray for the people who need your touch. Ann Pareto, Loretta Forrest, Mary and Jerry West in Costa Rica, Donald McDowell, Dr. Joe McCormack, Joe Bedolo's father, and Tom Curley. Father, touch their life and their body in such a special way that they can say they have been in the presence of God and helped by God. Lord, we do have missionaries in our church, people who go out in their own countries. And some of them, they are foreign to their countries, but they are faithful to proclaim the hope in Christ. And we pray for Fred and Carol Lewis now in Pasadena, training missionaries. Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain. Eusebio and Marisa Perez with us today in that beautiful city of Benalmadena. David and Denise Rode in Papua New Guinea. Giovanni and Barbara Arbendano in Guatemala. Marta Ferretti in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Dante and Maruja Rabines in Iquitos, Peru. Jose and Diane Avila in Costa Rica. And Father, locally, the Sal Valley Pregnancy Care Center, the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, and Daniel and Miriam Lacey in the Motorsport Ministry, as their ministry is on the car racing as a chaplain. Thank you, Lord, that you allow to have this list of men and women and families proclaiming the gospel, and cause us to have more next year so that we are not only doing the work locally in Jerusalem, but around the world. Thank you, Father. Father, we pray a special blessing for our missionary, Eusebio Perez, and his wife, Marisa, as they visit with us from far away from that beautiful Mediterranean city of Benalmadena. And we pray that the ministry of the word and the enthusiasm of what you have done in his life and in the life of the church will encourage us more to be a missionary church. We thank you, Lord, for those who took my place on last Sunday. And I thank you for those who graduate, Father, for every young person here in church, and for those that we know, and for my granddaughters and the granddaughters of many. Lord, what a privilege it is to see our young people getting prepared for life. Thank you, Lord. And now, Father, you have blessed the church with good speakers, Brother Ramil Yalday, and our wonderful associate pastor, Brother Greg Tomlinson. And how blessed we are that this church is not built upon a man, but is built upon the man, Jesus, our Lord. And Lord, we thank you for the great father and son breakfast yesterday, and for the good word of Pastor Bill Downey here in town. They came and shared the word, the nature of man, and the responsibility of man as we stand before you. Thank you, Lord. It was a great, joyful meeting and a great fellowship with Pastor Downey. And it is so good, Lord, to encourage one another And because we need every pastor, every church open, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus to people, letting people know that there is a hell and there is a heaven, and there is a bridge between our heart and God, and that bridge is Jesus. Now, Father, thank you for your continuous provision. You are a mighty God, and these people of Bethel love you and provide for the church. Thank you, Father. So bless the giver and bless the offering. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated.
Thank you. So they gave me the option of coming up and singing or bringing you an update. I think the update won. So we, with respect to the new church building, we have signed the contract with an architect to help us lay out all of the plans and set up all the details of that. And so in the next several weeks, we may be having conversations with the architect to narrow down some things, as well as we should be having a basic layout coming up as soon as we can get a copy of it, and you will all have access to that. So that's the latest.
Thanks, Pastor Tomlinson, for that update. And thank you, choir, for the beautiful music. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the Book of Psalms. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 709. We will be reading Psalm chapter 27. Beg your pardon, I think it's chapter 127. Yes. Chapter 127, verses 1 through 5. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Psalm 127, all the verses. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you that you have blessed us beyond measure in sending the Lord Jesus Christ, who bought us with his own blood, so that we might be called the sons of God when we first came to believe. We thank you for having adopted us into your family. We pray for boldness in obeying the Great Commission, and that you would especially bless those who have devoted their entire lives in being true witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, for those who bring the whole counsel of God from your written word. We thank you for calling them to participate in bringing your purposes to fulfillment. We pray now for your servant, Missionary Perez. Blessing, we pray that you would bless him as he brings the message from your word. May those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD also be blessed by the message and know the greatness of the mighty works of Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you very much, Missionary Perez. Make the way. And if you turn on your receiver, I take this microphone out. So, how blessed we are. I was in his church in 1998. That's a long time. And we eat good in Ben Halmadena on the Mediterranean side over there. Beautiful. I can't believe it, that in Spain, it was so radical. Here was a church with a sign, Baptist Church, in the middle of the town. So I'm so proud for you, Pastor, and give us the message of the Word of God.
There you go. Now I'm switched. All right. Now I'm powered. I was saying that it was only one thing that I regret about his visit, and it was just half a day, actually. They were passing by and had a wonderful message. I still remember the message, Pastor. Had him there preaching for us. Some of the folks at our church still wonder if Dr. Otero will come back again to preach again. I said, well, you pray hard enough and he might. What a blessing it was, Pastor. Next time you come, please give us at least a full day. We'd like to show you around and spoil you a little bit, like you have a tendency of spoiling us when we come around here. As you notice, I only came with my wife this time, my two boys, out of the nest. Last time I came, I didn't know really what they were going to do with their life. But praise the Lord, He's directed them, and both want to serve the Lord full time. Gabriel, our oldest son, just graduated from Bible college, and now he's serving in Pacifica in the CBU Baptist Church. He'll be doing an internship there, and we'll see what the Lord has from there on. And then our youngest son, Adrian, he'll be getting married in August. He'll be graduating in about 6 months, and he also wants to serve the Lord. I have a lot of people come and say, Brother Perez, you are a blessed man. You know what? I don't think there's a greater joy for a missionary, for a preacher, than to have his offspring, his children, wanting to serve the Lord with all their heart. Only had two boys. I would have liked to have had a girl. I prayed hard for a girl, but my wife overprayed me, and this is why we only had two boys. But I told her, I said, you know, my answer to prayer are coming very soon. You don't lose a son, you actually win a daughter. So we're having Becky in the family very soon. And then, of course, grandchildren. I can't wait for that. I'll be giving you a report tonight. I made a DVD. I wanted to drive you right there into the mission field of southern Spain, Andalusia. So you'll be getting a lot of information on the culture. And, of course, you'll be able to get see some of the folks in our church. And, Pastor, I don't know what it is about Argentinians. We have more Argentinians in our church than we have Spanish or British.
Oh, wow.
In fact, you'll see that in the video that we have 13 different nationalities. I can relate with a church like this because I can see you have a lot of different nationalities represented here. We have people from different parts of Europe and, of course, many different parts of Latin America. And we've also had a family from Iran who converted not too long ago and also joining the church. So praise the Lord for that. I hope you can make it tonight to be able to see what the Lord is doing there. When I first went to Malaga, I thought it was just going to be reaching the Spaniards, but I was in for a surprise. If you understand anything about the southern part of Spain, you will notice that it's a very, very international area. Everybody's coming down from every different part of Europe. Actually, for many years, when we traveled around Europe trying to raise support, my heart was always left behind with a burden because there's so many different areas in Europe with no mission work, no church, no gospel witness. And I just felt like, you know, I wanted to pray to the Lord, asking Him to clone me in some way so I could, you know, go to all these different places. But I think the Lord blessed me in a very special way, putting me in Malaga, because, you know, we don't really have to go to all these different places, all the mission fields of Europe are coming to our very, very doorstep. And so it's a very international work, and I'm excited for what the Lord is doing. Now, we're not just reaching the Spanish-speaking community. We're actually trying to reach everybody in the area. I feel that before the Lord, there's no Spanish, English, American, or anything. There are just souls that need Christ. And praise the Lord for the things that He's doing there in Malaga. I don't have very much time, so I think let's go into the Word. And if you're here tonight, I'd like to answer some questions if you have some. And of course, I think the video will be self-explanatory. It'll give you all the information I think you need about the work that we're doing. Open your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Now, this week I was wondering what I would preach about. And because I'm a missionary, I was always, you know, I'm always tempted to preach on missions and the importance of going to the mission field. But, you know, we're celebrating Father's Day. So I thought, well, let me bring something that's related to Father's Day. Now, this is awesome to me because I actually get to celebrate three Father's Day this year. In Spain, it was 3 months ago, and since we have a British-speaking group in our church, they celebrate like a month later, so we got to do that, and now we're here in America, and we're celebrating again. The only problem, I only get one present. I don't get three. Okay, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Now, I'm going to be talking about Noah and seeing some ingredients that this man had as a father. Noah, it was a good father in the midst of a degenerate generation. And I think we can learn some things from Noah. Bringing children up in his time was probably as difficult as it is today. And we see here in Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith in Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now it was hard to be a godly father in Noah's day. The whole world was corrupting all around him. In fact, if you just come with me to Genesis chapter 6, we'll be seeing several things in this chapter that I think will help you as a father in this generation in which you're living in today. It was hard, as I said before, to be a godly father in Noah's day. Here in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, we can see the condition of the world in his time. It was corrupting everywhere all around him. It says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his hearts was only evil. Notice that word, continually. Now, I don't know how you feel about the world today, but I think this is where we're going. Now, it was hard in that time, but you know what? In Matthew chapter 24, verse 37, it says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I think we're living in very similar, times in which we can relate very much with Noah's time. It was hard for Noah, and it is hard for us if we want to be godly fathers. The whole world is corrupting around us, and we see the signs of Noah's day today. Now, Noah gives us a good example of what a father must be. What must a father be? Well, we have at least four things. We need to be providers. We need to be partners. We don't just bring the bread to the table like my father used to say. I needed more than that. And he was a priest, and he was a pattern. That means he was a point of reference for his children. Listen, folks, your responsibility as a father is not just to give him a career. Your responsibility, and just teach him things from the Bible, you need to become an example for them. You need to become a point of reference. You can tell them everything you want, but you know, later on in the years to come, they will look back and say, what did my father do in a similar situation? Well, in the case of Noah, this meant to be that he had to offer a consistent effort. How long did it take to build the ark? Well, you know, about 100 years. Then it was a combined effort. All Noah's family worked together, and it was also a committed effort. Noah was the last man on earth to do the job. Now, I have five things that I'd like to show you about Noah as a model father. Okay, but before that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are looking all the way back to the beginning in Genesis. And what a wonderful book this is, Father, because the Bible is never outdated. We can go back and see ingredients in this chapter that will help us as parents today in the times in which we live. I pray, Lord, that you will use your servant this morning, that you will give me the power of the Holy Spirit, that you will seal this message in our hearts, especially in this day, Father's Day. Help us, Father, because we need today godly fathers. We need godly families, pillars that will strengthen the church in the days in which we live. So, Father, be with us this morning as we look into your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's look, first of all, at the first thing that I see about Noah being a godly father. Now, how many of you fathers here can truly say, honestly say, that you have a close relationship with God? I want to see your hands. I want to see if you're here. How many of you have a close relationship with God? Well, I'm going to see if you're... Okay, let me start this way. How many of you are here? How many of you are you here this morning? Let me see your hand. I see a lot of shy fathers this morning. Hey, how many of you truly have a relationship with Christ? This is very important. If you want to be a godly father, you need to have a relationship with Christ. You know, one day your children will be asking you questions. I was very unfortunate. My father was not saved. And every time I came to him with questions, he would just give me his own opinion. And most of the time, it was not the right opinion. They're not the right counsel. But praise the Lord for fathers today who can go into Scripture and tell their children how God sees life and how we need to do and how we need to be. Okay, so look with me at chapter 6, first of all, verse 9 in Genesis. It says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was, notice the, how God describes Noah. Noah was a just man. So he was just, and what else? He was perfect in his generation. And Noah, and this is very important, walked with God. But if you look over in chapter 7, verse 1, you see something else about Noah. It says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come, thou and all thy house unto the ark. For notice here it says, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. So, you know, what, when a person truly has a relationship with God, it'll show in him, in his character. And in Noah's case, we see that he was a just man. He was a complete man, a perfect man. He was a man that walked with God. He was not a perfect man. My children know that his dad, their dad, Sam Perez, Jose Perez, is not perfect, but they know that I love the Lord and I'm honest about my desire to serve him. So he was a just man, a perfect man. He walked with God and he was a righteous man. Now, I don't know where he picked this up from, but I think his grandfather had something to do with this. If you jump over to chapter 5, verse 4, we see that Enoch, his great-grandfather, also, it doesn't say very much about Enoch. He just appears in Scripture, disappears very, very fast. But here, it gives us enough information to know what kind of man Enoch was. And it says in chapter 5, verse 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, Noah didn't just simply know about God. He knew God, and he walked with God on a daily basis. So, the first thing I want to encourage you fathers today is, you know, build a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is not just a thing about, you know, it's not just about coming to church on Sunday. It is not just about reading the Bible and that's it. Don't just commit to the Lord, surrender to the Lord. There's a difference there. When you commit to the Lord, that means you're in control and you give God whatever areas of your life that you desire. You're in control. You decide, Lord, this is what I want to give you. This is, you know, but when you surrender to the Lord, it's different. It means that as God reveals himself to you, you'll be ready to respond. This is what a true relationship with God means. But we see something else about Noah. Not just he had a relationship with God, he also listened to God. One thing is hearing, another thing is listening. Now I want you to notice something there in chapter 6, verse 13. It says, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence to them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without the pitch. And if you continue reading all the way to verse 21, you see how God describes how he needs to build the ark. And it's very interesting what we see here, because the ark is actually a picture, a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and what we find in him when we come to him for salvation. But, you know, well, the thing that I want to point out here is that he listened to God. Now, some of you are here this morning, and I wonder if you're really listening to the message. I wonder how many of you will be remembering the message next week. That's very important. I encourage our church to take notes. And I tell them, it's because if I don't take notes, I have a tendency of forgetting. I need to take notes of the message, go back home in prayerfully, study those notes, and try to seal those truths in my heart. This is the way you listen to God. So God told Noah what was going to happen with what he should, and what he should do, and what he should prepare. Now, what did Noah do with the information that God gave them? Now this is a problem in our generation, because there's a lot of hearers today, but very few doers. I had a conversation with a pastor friend of mine, missionary in Germany, Dr. Gilbert Wood, and I asked him something. I said, Woody, do you see something in today's generation that you didn't see in your generation? He said, what do you mean? I said, you know, when I got saved like 26 years ago, it was, you know, a big thing. It was like, you know, something totally new, something exciting, and I just didn't have enough of it. He said, you know what? That's exactly how I felt. So, but what happens today with those who come to Christ? And he said, tell me, there's three generations that I can tell you about. He says, when our parents, when our fathers, or those in our father's time, went to the pastor, if the pastor said something, they did it. They didn't question. He says, in our time, in your time, in my time, when we came to the pastor and asked him something, he said, and you know, we asked him, where in the Bible can you find that? And if the Bible said it, we would do it. So, but we live in a time when people come to Christ. It doesn't matter what the pastor says. And if they ask where in the scripture you can find that information, if it's convenient for their lifestyle, for their goals, they'll do it. Otherwise, they won't do anything. And you know what? I just wonder how people are listening today. Are you really listening to the Word of God? Are you listening to His voice? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you? Well, I see that Noah was a man who not only heard, but he listened, and he also applied. Are you simply a hearer of the Word, or are you carefully listening in order to apply God's Word in your life? Do you just hear what has been preached, or do you listen diligently to apply it in your life? Well, we see two things so far. He had a relationship with God, and he also knew how to listen to God. Do you know how to listen to God? If your son or daughter asks you today, Dad, how do you know when the Lord's leading in your life? You know, I have a problem with some people today. They use God's name in vain a lot of times. They say, well, the Lord laid in my heart. So how do you know? How do you know it's the Lord? And that's where the conversation ends. How do you know it's the Lord? A lot of people confuse their conscience or the little voice inside with the leading of the Holy Spirit. Would you know how to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life? Are you listening? Or is there so much confusion in your life, so much noise in your life that you cannot listen to God's voice? He's speaking today and He's speaking to you. And I just wonder if you're that type of individual who's really listening, who is tuned in. You say, well, I can't hear. Well, just bring the noise in your life down so you can listen. I have a tendency every time things just start, you know, just overflow. How do you say this? I'm thinking in Spanish now. So flooding me. I have a tendency just telling my wife, Marisa, I'm going to my secret place. And I just find a place where, you know, for the first hour, I say nothing. I just listen. I'm just quiet. And afterwards, I can, you know, things start coming down. And I can have a conversation with the Lord. And you know what? If I have problems, I just leave them all there. Come back, tuned up, ready to go on with life. Are you listening? Third thing we see here is that he acted upon what God said. Look with me at chapter 6, verse 22. Notice it says, thus did Noah. I want you to circle that if you have a custom of underlining your Bible. Just underline that little word, did. This did Noah according to what? According to all that God commanded him to do. So he did. Again, the word did. Are you a doer of the word, or are you just a hearer of the word? He acted upon what God said. He prepared an ark to the saving of his household. This tells me that God's project for his life was not just a 1 or 2 day project. It was a long-term project. You know, let me just bring something to you that really bothers me. I've been in the ministry now for over 14 years. And I get scared sometimes seeing how some of the pastor friends and missionaries are just burning out. They're just giving up. If they find it just too hard, or they just flow with the crowds, with the tendencies. You know what? I don't know how long the Lord will have me serving in the ministry and missions, But I know one thing, it's going to be until the end of my life. You probably won't be in the mission field, but I'm not going to give up. You know what? When God asks you to do something, when God asks you to serve, it's a long-term project. It was a well-planned project. Chapter 6, look, verse 14 to 21. Chapter 6, verse 14, it says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 40 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above it. And the door, we had one door, and one little window. Now again, I just want to show you something here. It's really talking about, it's describing what we have in Jesus Christ. Only one door to salvation. You have to be in the ark if you want to have salvation. And there's only one way to relate to God. And that's a little window, you know, and that's through the Lord, through the Jesus Christ himself. So everything about the ark is telling us something about the excellencies of Christ. He acted upon what God said, and we see that it was a well-planned project. Listen, fathers, this morning, God has a project for you. It is not just a project for the pastor, not just a project for the missionary, those leaders in the church. It's a project, and you know what? The Lord has a project for you. You know what the Lord wants you to do with your children? Not collect them, but project them. Project them to who? We will be ending this message with Psalm 127, where it says that the powerful man which has children in his life, he feels safe. He knows what to do. He knows how to project his arrows, which are the children. He knows how to straighten them. He knows how to sharpen them. And there's a time when he has to hold them strong, but there's a time when you have to let them loose very, very softly. But you need to know what to aim. Where are you aiming with your life? Where are you? I mean, if it's just a career, if it's just, you know, wealth and comfort. Listen, this is probably what your children would have, but they will be miserable if that's all they have. You know, Noah could have had a very easy life. But for 100 years, he stood with the stuff and just went on with the plan that God gave him. You as a father are responsible of discipling and training your children. Sometimes it is left for the church. And yes, the church has a responsibility, but you have the greatest responsibility. And it's also a family-involving project. If you notice there in chapter 7, verse 1, we see that his household, his whole house was involved in this. When he started the job, probably didn't have any children. If he had them, they were just babies. But you know, we see that as he started building the ark, God's project for his life, he had his children involved. It was a long time project. At the age of 500, in chapter 5, verse 32, he started the project. In chapter 7, verse 6, we see that he finished the project, and he tells us that he was 600 years old. He was a steady and consistent servant of the Lord for over 100 years. Now the ingredient that made him act upon what God told him was faith and fear. Now, Noah acted out his faith. He was consistent at it. And his wife, sons, and daughters-in-law all joined in to work together. You know, as I started off this message, I said that I feel privileged to have two boys who want to serve the Lord. I'm actually surprised that they do. Because, you know, when they reached them, when they were like 17, 18, 19, I wanted to kill them. Anyway, but there wasn't a moment in their life when they realized that they needed to do something with it, something serious, something relevant. And boy, you know, the Lord came through tremendously. I tell people when they say that, you know, we did a good job, I say, you know what, the greatest battles that we won raising our children were done in our knees. You know, it's not so much about you, it's what the Lord has to do in you and through you to your children in their lives. But you need to be involved. You need to be surrendered. The fourth thing I have here, he was willing to face opposition and to stand for God. Are you the type of father this morning? let me show you something interesting. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Peter writes just a small verse here about Noah. I think it's a very relevant verse. It tells us about, you know, what his activity was during those 100 years. He wasn't just nailing nails or cutting wood and building an ark. Notice that although he was involved doing this prime job, he was also doing something as he did it. Notice it says, "And prepared not the old, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness." Just underline those words. He was a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. He was a preacher of righteousness. What does this tell us? Well, just to start off with, he was not a very popular preacher. If you want to preach about God's love, you probably become a very popular preacher. If you want to talk about prosperity, if you want to talk about, you know, just God's blessing and all that, everybody will love you. But talk about sin. Talk about God's righteousness, God's wrath. It doesn't make you a very popular parent. And probably his children were not very popular in his time. Oh, you're that the son of that guy who's always preaching about God's wrath and God's judgment, that he's going to bring this great flood. You know, it's important that we tell people not just the good news, but also the bad news, that this is not going to make it very popular. In fact, I think his children were probably the most unpopular children in town. But he was willing to face the opposition. He faced opposition. He faced ridicule. His family also faced opposition and ridicule. He stood up to this opposition and ridicule and responded by giving a consistent witness and continue with the work that God told him to do no matter what. Now listen, parents. Other parents were probably more popular. Other children were probably more popular. But you know what happened to them? They drowned. And that they survived. And my greatest concern about my boys, if they were going to drown with the rest of the people in this earth, or were they going to float and survive and make an impact in this world? They survived. Let me give you the last thing, last point here. He looked beyond now to the future. You know, he had a vision. And God, it was a God-given vision. Let me just show you a passage in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, to finish this message off. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And as we saw before, later on it mentions Noah. What does this tell us? What kept him and his family going on and on for 100 years? What kept them together working in this project? Well, he and his family had looked beyond their present circumstances and looked beyond to his promise. Now, if you put your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and his promise, his coming, you know what's going to happen? You will purify yourself. And you will stay constant serving him every day. I have a problem with today's generation of Christians. Some folks think that they're doing God a great favor by coming to church. In fact, when I ask them if they're faithful, they say, "Well, I'm going to church. I read my Bible. I get my tithe." And I said, "And? That's the ABCs of Christianity, folks. That's just the beginning." But you know, you have to have a vision. What are you doing with your life? God has a plan for you, Father. Do you know where it is? That's another problem that I have with today's generation. Generation of fathers. When you say, "Well, you know what God wants for you? You know what God's plan is for you?" Well, no. Father, God has a plan specifically for you. It has your fingerprint in his plan. It has your ID card. It's so personal. And you need to discover that. He and his family looked beyond to Christ. He looked beyond now to the future towards the recompense of reward, willing to build a boat now for a mansion in the future. When my boys told me that they felt God's calling and wanted to go to college, I said, son, when you go to college to prepare yourself for the ministry, you're not preparing, you're not getting a degree so you can go into a job that will make you, give you a good life, a comfortable life. You will be experiencing a lot of need. Are you still willing to study those years to do that? You're not going to have a life of ease and comfort. It'll probably be one of the most difficult things that you'll do, as a man. But they said, Daddy, this is what God wants me to do. And maybe if that's what it means, that's what it means. This is what we're willing to do. Now that brings joy to my heart that they're willing to pay the price. But you know what? It doesn't bring, when they talk about this, you won't see a long face in their faces. They're joyful. Because, you know, this means that their life will be doing something that God will be involved in. Let me just conclude with this message. I only have a couple of minutes to go. Noah was a man of faith, a father of faith. And faith involves four things. It involves heart. I mentioned before that he had a relationship with God. That meant that he had faith to believe God and fellowship to be warned of God. It also involves head, a mindset. He moved with fear, it says. And fear, by the way, it means reverential respect for God, God's authority and judgment. When God said something, it wasn't questionable. It wasn't an option. It was it, and this is what had to be done. And he refused to succumb to the mentality of the lost around him and blend with their practices. There was a price to pay. And of course, it involves hands, actions. He built an ark that saved his household and lived separately from a condemned generation. And last, it involves reward. Became heir of the righteousness which is by faith, the Bible tells us. Now, let me conclude here. Fathers, I want to speak to you now very, very closely, very intimately. I want to talk to your heart. Do you see yourself having a true, close relationship with the Lord this morning? Does your children see that you actually listen to God and obey? Because if you don't, and you tell them what God has to say, they won't believe you because you don't practice it. Do they see that you act upon what God says? When your children tell you, why is this wrong? Because I said so. No, tell them, this is what the Bible says. Give them the higher authority. It is not Daddy who says, and this is what we need to do. It is God that says it. And we see this in, and they see this in you. You practice it. They need to have you as a point of reference. And do they see that you are willing to face opposition and to stand for God? Do they see you looking beyond now to God's plan for the future? I hope so. Happy Father's Day. But I wish you an even happier day if you are following these instructions. You know, I already said I'm going to finish, and I'm going to finish. I probably haven't made a lot of wealth in life. And that's not really been my goal in life. But you know, when I see my boys wanting to serve the Lord, that makes me the richest man on earth. You know what it is? It's just to sit back in your couch at the end of the day and have the peace of God in your heart, knowing that your life is serving a higher purpose. And then seeing how the Lord is using your children. That just gives me a sense of richness in my heart. I'm a rich man. And I want to be richer because I want to have grandchildren. And I want to see them serving the Lord also. I hope to be a good grandparent. Thank you again for allowing us to be with you. And I hope you can make it tonight to be at the presentation. I'd like to give you a cultural experience. Thank you very much. God bless you.
by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us run the race not only for the prize, but as held to God before us, let us lead to those behind us. The heritage of faithfulness that's gone to God be thine.
Scripture that makes a great summary of our brother and pastor speaking. As I was in Oregon and I was reading the newspaper commentary on my granddaughter, 450 graduated from this public school, and the newspaper picking two, one in my granddaughter and the other a Russian lady. What a joy it is to know that your children walk with the Lord. And so John from the island writes, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. And I think it doesn't happen like that. There was a lot of work on the ark, and there is a lot of cry and prayer in our life as fathers. And remember, your family is looking up to you. So measure with all your heart and prayer about yourself and about your family. Because that's the secret of God. Satan knows that and wants to destroy it by creating this crazy homosexuality business. Craziness. The artwork of Satan. Because Satan knows that when a father is standing in the home and the word of God, then God is pleased and your family is blessed. Thank you, Pastor. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That we have this blessed hope in the scripture the challenge of the scripture today put us before you. But I'm so glad, Father, that there is no failure with you. You said in the scripture, it is because of the mercies of the Lord that you are not consumed. My mercies are renewed every morning. And so, Father, receive us again. Build us again. Give us the strength and the power to be godly fathers and godly grandfathers, that the children may remember that we love you. Thank you for our missionary and his wife visit. Thank you for what we're going to see tonight. And I pray for each family here, each family who listen via internet here in Japan and many places, and for those who are in the radio ministry across the highways, perhaps driving today. There was a message of hope, a message target to bring our life closer to you. Oh God, bring conviction and bring relief. In Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can say hello to the missionary. He will be available to you here.